Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is April 10th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Just a reminder here that in 2 weeks, and let's see, it's actually 3 weeks, and three Thursdays, we will be skipping the call. That is actually Easter week, so the week right after Easter, as we will be, most of the MotoVitality team will be out in Long Beach at the WQA convention. Those of you that are going to be out there, please stop by our booth. Michelle, do you remember our booth number by chance?
1938.
So booth 1938 in Long Beach this year. Please stop by, say hello. Love to hear from you. So that will actually be Thursday the 24th. There will be no call on Thursday the 24th. Also, we have sold out this month's premium class that started. So the next class that we have begins in May. The virtual portion on the on-site would be in June, which is a phenomenal time to come to Michigan. So for the on-site portion, we'd love to host your installers. Let us know if you have any questions there. And we do have tons of room for available for the custom classes or the standard or the sales classes as well. So please let us know, although we do expect that to fill up pretty fast because of the show coming up. So anyway, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is to ask, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Environmental Working Group?
Yeah, EWG. Absolutely.
What is your what's your thoughts of that as a resource?
So I think it's an incredible resource. They do a great job of marketing and putting it out there. And it's definitely a website that is worth being familiar with because customers will often refer back to it on their in their comments. However, it is slightly, in my opinion, this is only an opinion. I think it's slightly it leans towards one political side. Sometimes it can be a little biased. The test and the results are often they can be presented in a kind of a scary way. The standards they use and the tests they use and the things that they use to talk about it far, far exceed what the EPA is. So sometimes I find, in some ways I really like it because it builds awareness and it certainly creates concern that I don't have to create with a customer when they go to it. But sometimes I find I have to talk customers off a ledge because they've read it and they've come away with a lot more fear and anxiety about things than are realistically necessary. And so, I often will say things, look, you're somewhere in the middle there. Yes, that's a concern, but here are the EPA's minimum drinking water requirements, and it's a pretty easy fix to do that. So my concern with that is that there are some people that use EWG and they use it to allow the customers to come to them. They justify it by saying, oh, the customer read it and customer is coming to me afraid, therefore I'm going to sell them something. And I'm a little uncomfortable with that part of it. But But it really is not. I mean, there's a lot of great information on there, too. So, you know, if you can read it with an objective, educated eye, that's my opinion. I don't know if anybody else has an opinion on it.
Kelly, do you mind if I
please,
share my
thoughts? That's why. You're part of anybody else. So,
So this is Paul, and I find they are useful. They're a useful tool for me to look at it as in somebody in the industry if I want specific data, to look at the data. But I very much find them to use scare tactics in the way in which they present things. In fact, there was an email. I'm on their list. I get emails from them regularly. There was something they sent out last week that just totally exemplified scare tactics to the max.
Yeah, yeah,
and I thought, boy. And I'll tell you, one of the instructors at WQA with whom I work, Peter feels the same way, Kelly. They use scare tactics. Now, I may be overstating his perspective a little bit, but not really. I would not want a customer of mine to go to EWG to look at what's there because they'll come away thinking it's never safe to drink water anywhere.
Agreed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
No. But for me to use it or for you in the industry, for us to go in there and ferret out what we want to know, that's different because we're not vulnerable to that scare tactic.
Go ahead.
So what a way to, like, if a customer brings it up, is a way to address that is that they are an independent nonprofit and they do have this top water database. They have their own standards. However, they are much stricter than these are the EPA limits that are actually regulated by the government. They're just saying this. That way it's, you know, they have their own standards. However, that's not the legal standard.
And when you're talking about EPA, I'm sorry, Kelly.
Please, Paul,
EPA has, they have an MCL, right? They also, for some contaminants, have an MCLG. MCL is maximum contaminant level. MCLG or limit. MCLG is the maximum contaminant limit goal. That's where if you say, okay, because the MCL takes into account the cost of coming into compliance.
Yeah.
So like on the arsenic scale of 10 parts per billion, that's 10 parts per billion because somebody's looking at it, realistically, it's the water municipalities that are looking at it and going, do you want us to spend what to come into compliance? And what's it going to cost if we set it at 5 parts per billion? But if you look at it strictly from the standpoint of, from a health perspective, you took cost out of the equation, that's the MCLG. It's the level at which no known or expected health concern exists. So if you've got a customer who's looking at it and wants to go to the nth degree, you would try and satisfy the MCLG, which in some cases is the same as the MCL.
Yeah.
So it's a way for you to differentiate that with your customer. EWG, I just don't know what, to me, they have an agenda. And that concerns me as far as how they present things.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you're saying. You kind of basically said it more eloquently than I did, Paul. But I agree. I feel like there's some bias there, and it is, if you understand that there are some extremes, I do think it's important. You cannot just dismiss it because it's a website that people ask me about, customers ask me about frequently. It's also a website that some of the less scrupulous individuals in our industry and really exploit in terms of promoting their products or services. And I'm uncomfortable with that. I think it violates. There's a lot of scary stuff. It's very, very, it's written to be very scary. And so it is something. Do you mind, Scott, if I ask how, you know, what's your opinion of it, your experience with it?
I've had customers bring it up in the past, and I've been using it to really track which municipalities are testing positive for PFAS.
Yeah.
So I know, you know, when we talk about like TDS or if we talk about like a whole house filter that'll take the PFAS out, to let them know that the municipality has tested positive for it. If you'd like to take it out, these are great options.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of data. I think it's good. As Paul was saying, if you can read it with an educational eye, you know, if you read it, you know, using it for that type of thing, because they're search engines, they're, you know, there's zip codes there, you can get links to consumer confidence reports and stuff like that. I mean, it really is a good resource, but it's important to read it with some education behind you rather than, and a lot of times homeowners, you know, that's the extent of their research on something. And like I said, I sometimes feel like I have to talk them off of a ledge. It doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, telling them, yeah, here's the issue. But I, you know, I explain all the things that Paul explained and say, you're not going to explode if you continue to drink this water, maybe something worth addressing, but you're not going to, you know, your kids aren't going to keel over and die tomorrow, you know, and that, it,
you mean,
that's, what's that?
Do you mean nobody's going to grow a third arm?
No. They will do that. No. The lips?
Not right away.
Don't put words in my mouth, Scott. Yes, of course they're going to grow extra limbs, but who among us doesn't want an extra limb? I'm talking about the things that would hurt us. You know, I would love to have an extra arm. That would be, I mean, at night, you know, trying to figure out how to sleep on it would be different. But no, that's not a bad thing. Are you kidding me? Anyway,
all right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else have a thought on that? So I did think before we hop into our topic here today, there were two relevant things that happened that I saw that I ran into this week that I wanted to share with you guys. Number one, and kind of, you know, and regarding the PFAS, I had a customer reach out to me yesterday, one of the cities, Hamilton, Michigan, and it's, I think this really highlights the importance of our industry. God, there's so many lessons in this story that I saw. There's a local small town here near me, Hamilton, Michigan, that tested positive, really positive for high levels of PFAS. And this town gets their water from a couple different wells, there are super high PFAS in these wells. And so they supplied for every house in the area, because they can't afford to, you know, spend $1 billion on a PFAS system immediately. They bought from Aquasana. It's a little Aquasana filter. It's just a three-stage Aquasana filter that is certified for PFAS reduction. But they supplied one to every house in Hamilton. Did not install them, but recommended to homeowners that they look to certified local professionals to put the system in. And so they recommended finding certified installers for installation. They provided this little Aquasana PFAS reduction system. I really think, guys, we're going to see more and more and more of this throughout the country on stuff like this. This is why I look at, you know, certification as being important. They reached out to me because I'm listed as a certified installer locally, I mean, it's up to the company, you know, up to you as a company whether or not you want to go, you know, take on the cost or the risk of putting in somebody else's system, particularly an Aquasana or something like that. But that's a whole different conversation. But I did find that to be really interesting. I don't know if anybody else has run into that type of thing. The other thing that highlights and is the importance of being involved. I mean, the one thing that is regretful to me is that, you know, if we were, involved in the community, if we'd gone to, I mean, somebody at the city council meeting, or at the village council meeting, these people got together, and voted at somewhere on which system to buy and to supply to all these homes in this area. I mean, we're talking thousands of them. You know, so somebody got together and made a decision on which system to put in. And unfortunately, I'm not going to say anything about, the system that they opted to put in was affordable for them and is certified for PFAS reduction. So, but man, what a missed opportunity for other people to be involved or to go speak on it, you know, the pros and cons of that equipment. I just really feel like we're going to see more and more and more of that. Does anybody else run into that anywhere in their local areas? Just the importance of getting involved, to going to those city council meetings, those village council meetings, getting to know the people on those. It's incredible how often water is an issue. I think we're going to see the fluoride issue pop up, because that's in the news right now. We're going to see the fluoride issue pop up. We're going to see, obviously PFAS is popping up. There's, there are stink issues. I mean, these issues are out there, and these people, they don't know. How do they get the information? I've mentioned this before in this call that I was, when I was in sales, I made myself known. I went to every village council meeting. I made myself known as the local water treatment expert, not the sales guy, not the local water treatment sales guy, although people knew that, that I did sell them eventually. But they saw me as a certified water treatment professional. And there were times that they called me and said, hey, we're going to be discussing this at our meeting. Do you have are you able to come and speak as, as an expert on this topic? And man, what incredible credibility to have an input on the things that they vote on and the things that they're going to do and to be able to speak to the impacts it's going to have on the community. Also to be aware before anybody else does on what you're going to run into when it comes to treatment, So
Kelly,
Kelly,
there's something I want to mention for those of you that are dealing with PFAS or thinking of it. I was just talking with Tanya the other day, and I asked her whether the PFAS, the NSF ANSI standard for PFAS, has been updated to reflect the EPA proposal of 4 parts per trillion, because the old standard, that was not what the goal was.
Yeah, it was 70.
And she said to me, no. So it has yet to be updated. So any of us that are out there, if you're selling certified PFAS systems, my thought is make sure that your customer understands that that certification is not necessarily going to provide the level of assurance that they want, because it might, but the last thing I want to do is have somebody put in a system and have a customer come back at you later when they find out that the system doesn't bring it down below 4 parts per trillion, and it was never certified to do that in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah, I mean, honesty, integrity. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have all the answers. This is an evolving situation. What we say today may be different than what we say a year from now. Excuse me. This is what we have to work with right now. And those standards will be updated, but as we speak right now, I don't believe that has happened.
Yeah. Guys, there's one other thing I wanted to mention that was industry relevant, and that's going to leave us with about 10 minutes for our topic. So we may continue the topic next week on some of this stuff, because I really think it'd be an interesting conversation. We're going to talk about, scams and fraud and stuff like that, and I really don't want to be rushed on that conversation. But the other thing, the other news story I saw come across my feed, just came across yesterday, that President Trump – signed an executive order allowing for higher water pressure on shower heads and toilets now. This is something that he's talked about in speeches for a long time, and the low water pressure. And basically the United
States... Higher flow rates, Kelly?
Higher flow rates, yes. They were restricted. They have been restricted for about a decade to 2.5... gallons per minute maximum for any shower heads or toilet valves or anything like that made in the United States. So it's been usually they're around 2-2.5. Now I know a lot of people who took out those flow restrictors, went in, you can usually just slide them right out on a lot of the faucets. But they're no longer required now to be restricted. So how does that impact us? Flow rates, on equipment that we put in, now suddenly you may have a little higher flow rate on the equipment. But I just said, that may come up. I thought that was just an interesting piece of information, a water related story that came through my feed. It was kind of interesting. So, that's good news for you and I, Paul, when we wash our hair. I find it, President Trump when he announced this, he talked about, how long it took to wash his hair. And I said, I relate to that. I understand exactly what he was saying. It takes me forever to get my ear and nose hair soaked enough to shampoo it,
Well, do you take it out of the braid first?
These days, I know it's been a while since you've seen me, but I usually have let my ear hair grow long enough to do a comb over. I've been experimenting with that. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. Anybody
I hadn't
else
heard about the flow. That's good. I'm glad. I'm happy to see that because, my world over the years, here we are dealing with all these low flow appliances and, faucets and so forth. And then on the other hand, I've got customers who have sprinkler systems that are using 2,000 or 3,000 gallons a day on the lawn. Yeah. I'm looking at them going, boy, how do you reconcile that?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll tell you, and Scott, I'm sorry because we're not going to be able to spend – I know you said you weren't going to miss this one, so maybe, we're going to talk a little about this, but I want to share what happened. We may continue this conversation next week because there's a lot more that I wanted to kind of go into detail and sort of list some of the stuff that we might run into out there and actually talk about the relevance to how what we need to look for. Scott, your experience with this, I really think is an interesting one, to look at. And I hadn't even occurred to me before this call, but I wanted to talk about scams and bots and fraud and how that can impact us as sales professionals, as business owners, as people in the industry. And it's just something that we need to be more and more and more aware of. What prompted this topic was we mailed out a check to one of our suppliers. It was $4,200, because we're, of course, MV Marketplace, Motor Vitality, MV Marketplace, we're a distributor. This is an ad for us, by the way. We're John Guest, RWC, lots of test kits. We carry lots and lots and lots of fittings and parts. And so we mailed out a check to a supplier, and that supplier, Michelle, our operations manager, always sends out an email to to our supplier saying, hey, we put the check in the mail. It should be there this time. And the supplier called back, RWC, they called back and said, hey, we haven't seen your check. Where's it at? Michelle looked to investigate, saw that it had been cashed. It was the right amount, saw that the check had been cashed and had cleared our bank, but decided to investigate further. And, of course, our bank keeps a copy of the check, of all the checks there. And what she discovered was that somebody had stolen the check, likely out of our mailbox, and had what they call it washing it. They kept my signature on the check. They kept the dollar amount and the date, and then they washed off the name of the company that we'd written it to, replaced it with what appears to be a bogus company, based in a tile company, based in Kentucky. And cashed a check, submitted it for deposit and cashed a check. It cleared cleared our bank. They also erased off the security features, which was a good thing for us because, you know, clearly when you look at the copy of the check, they put a border around it. It's very clear that it's been washed. I mean, when you compare the checks that we normally write, security features are erased, and it's just they've clearly, put a different name on. And then they put, you know, for deposit only, and they deposited into an account, and it cleared our bank. So, you know, this type of fraud, or filed a police report and an affidavit with the bank, and fortunately our bank has protections that, you know, will help us out with this. But in the meantime, our supplier is, you know, doesn't have their money. And, you know, for a small business, I can tell you for us, a small business, $4,200 is a big deal, you know, to be able to front that again, you know, to come through and write that again. I mean, it puts a challenge to us, you know. So, these are the types of things that can happen. I wanted to discuss ways, and I think we are going to. This is a preview for next week, because I think we're going to move this topic. We'll call this part one, like an introduction. And I'm glad, you know what, these other conversations that we had about the EWG, it's a great conversation, and I think, you know, talking about flow rates and all these other things, I think are really awesome. But I really think it'd be a fun and interesting conversation to talk about. You know, Scott, you said that you were in a long conversation, one that I read, and I think I kind of agree that it's a possibility. You were in a long dialogue among other people on one of the pros groups that now you suspect was an AI bot. And it fits the bill, you know, it fits the bill. And so I want to talk about, I mean, there was a long thread, tons of comments and dialogue on a Facebook group about this. And I want to be able to explore that and talk about that and some of the things that may impact us, you know, that in today's world, in 2025, we need to really start to be aware of, start to take a look at. So, we are going to come next week. I'm going to ask everybody, come next week, you know, read up on it or be prepared to share with us your experiences. Let's as a community, I'm assuming that there are no bots on this call. Paul, is that really you? Yeah. So see, that's what, right. You can't. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was very likely a bot that was speaking here. Scott, was it really you?
No,
see,
it was not.
What's that?
No, it was not.
Yeah, see, well, I mean, that's what a bot would say, right? Because a bot's trying to confuse us. I think that's going to be an interesting conversation. Let's talk about that next week. Let's table it. And I'm Scott, and that means waiting a whole other week for this conversation. Sorry about that. But I do think that'd be an interesting conversation to come back and discuss that next week. So anybody have any final thoughts? Go ahead.
Kelly, you're saying next week, but 2 weeks out?
No, next week. Why not? Next week. I'm going to be doing it next week.
I'm out to lunch. It's 2 weeks out that we'll be out in Long Beach. Next week we're here. My apologies.
Yeah, the 24th.
Totally.
We're skipping the call. Yeah, so next week we'll be around. Next week we will have a call in 2 weeks. I can't even believe that's coming up so fast. That's amazing. Everybody, I have 9 o'clock. I appreciate, guys, I love these kind of impromptu conversations. They're my favorite conversations to have on these calls. So I have no problems whatsoever delaying this topic, because I think there was a good conversation. Thank you, everybody, for participating and inputting on that. You guys have a great week. Be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Have an awesome week, everybody.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.